danse, cuisine et jeux gonflables. Tout cela gratuitement.
Waouh !
Et vendredi le 8 mars au centre Leonardo da Vinci, deux pièces de théâtre. Le Chat Botté à 13h pour les Boutchous de 3 à 6 et Bookie et Malice à 16h pour les 7 à 13 ans. Seulement $30 pour adultes et enfants.
Alors, qu'est-ce qu'on fait cette année pour la semaine de relâche ?
Euphoria !
Billets en vente partout et sur Eventbrite. Info 438-994-7615. 438-994-7615.
Yay!
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Drop, 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 drop
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Les vibrations de la communauté, CKUT FM 90.3.
Black Theater Workshop presents the world premiere of Diggers by Donna Michelle St. Bernard. Abdul and Solomon introduce Newbie Bai to the intricacies and dignity of grave digging. But when illness hits their town, they must make the best of a bad situation. Full of song, laughter, tears, and beautiful humanity, Diggers is a tribute to essential workers. Catch Diggers at the Siegel Center Studio from February 1st to the 17th. Get your tickets at siegelcenter.org or call 514-739-7944. More information at blacktheaterworkshop.ca. This is a Black Theater Workshop and Prairie Theater Exchange co-production and CKUT co-presentation.
Sound.
C. K. K.
U.
T. T. 90.3 FM.
Another reliable communication channel.
Thank you.
my friend. We are all interested in the future, for that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives. And remember, my friend, future events such as these will affect you in the future. You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. And now, for the first time, we are bringing to you the full story of what happened on that fateful day. We are giving you all the evidence based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Let us punish the guilty. Let us reward the innocent. My friend, can your heart stand the shocking facts about grave robbers from outer space? On this earth, know that there is a time to live and that there is a time to die. Yet death is always a shock to those left behind. It is even more of a shock when death, the proud brother, comes suddenly without warning. Just at sundown, a small group gathered in silent prayer around the newly opened grave of the beloved wife of an elderly man. Sundown of the day, yet also the sundown of the old man's heart. For the shadows of grief clouded his very reason. The funeral over, the saddened group left the graveside. It was when the gravediggers started their task that strange things began to take place.
15 to 4. Yep, right on schedule. There's the old San Fernando Valley out there now.
You better radio in for landing instructions, Danny.
Right, Jeff. Burbank Tower, this is American Flight 812. Over. Wouldn't surprise me any if he's asleep this time of the morning.
American Flight 812, this is Burbank Tower. If I were asleep, you'd never get on the ground. In your case, maybe I'll leave you up there for good. Over.
You got me that time, Mac. This is American Flight 812 requesting...
Burbank Tower to American Flight 812. Over. Burbank Tower to American Flight 812. Over.
Holy mackerel.
Burbank Tower to American Flight 812. Are you in trouble?
Trouble?
Take a look for yourself.
What in the world?
That's nothing from this world.
Burbank Tower to American Flight 812. Are you in trouble? Are you in trouble?
Mayday, mayday. Stand by, Burbank Tower.
You suppose a passenger saw it?
I doubt it. Most of them are asleep. But it was quite a jolt, Jeff. I'll check.
Good. We'll get it ready for landing. And keep it quiet until we get instructions.
Right.
Okay, Danny.
American Flight 812, reporting to Burbank Tower. Over.
Did you hear anything?
I thought I did.
Don't like hearing noises, especially when there ain't supposed to be any.
Yeah, sort of spooky-like.
Maybe we're getting old.
Whatever it is, it's gone now.
That's the best thing for us, too. Gone.
Yeah, let's go.
His wife's death became greater and greater agony. The home they had so long shared together became a tomb, a sweet memory of her joyous living. The sky to which she had once looked was now only a covering for her dead body. Flowers she had planted with her own hands became nothing more than the lost roses of her cheeks. Confused by his great loss, the old man left that home, never to return again. At the funeral of the old man, unknown to his mourners, his dead wife was watching.
First his wife, then he.
Tragic.
Tell me something. Why was his wife buried in the ground and he sealed in a crypt?
Something to do with family tradition, a superstition of some sort.
Oh.
Well, it's getting dark. Let's be in our way.
Then, as two of his mourners left his final resting place, minutes later, the police, led by Inspector Daniel Clay, arrived at the scene.
Who found them?
The man and girl.
Medical examiner been around yet?
Just left. The morgue wagon ought to be along most any time.
You get their statement?
Yeah, much as we could. They're pretty scared.
Finding a mess like this ought to make anyone frightened. Have one of the boys take the guy and the girl back to town. You take charge.
Okay, Inspector. What are you going to do?
Look around a little.
It's pretty dark out there. Once you get beyond the range of those lights, you won't be able to see your hand in front of your face.
I will get one of the flashlights from the patrol car.
Okay, be careful, Clay.
I'm a big boy now, Johnny. Okay.
Inspector?
Looks like a bobcat tore into them.
Yeah. Say, Lieutenant, did you get that funny odor?
How could I miss it? Oh, that'll be the morgue wagon now.
That's the fifth siren in the last hour.
Something's happened down at the cemetery. A lot of police cars and lights. I stopped, but I didn't see anything. Oh, well, whatever it is, the morning paper will carry the whole story.
You seem to still be up there somewhere.
Maybe I am.
I don't think I've ever seen you in this mood before.
I guess it's because I've never been in this mood before.
Something about your flight?
Yeah.
What happened, Jeff?
I saw a flying saucer.
Saucer? You mean the kind from up there?
Yeah, its counterpart. It was shaped like a huge cigar. Dan and Edith saw it too. When it passed over, the whole compartment lighted up with a blinding glare. Then there was a tremendous wind that practically knocked us off our course.
Well, did you report it?
Yeah. I radioed in immediately, and they said, we'll keep it quiet until you land. And as soon as we landed, big army brass grabbed us and made us swear to secrecy about the whole thing. Oh, it burns me up. These things have been seen for years. They hear. It's a fact. And the public ought to know about it.
There must be something more you can do about it.
Only there isn't. All but what's the use of making a fuss? But last night I saw a flying object that couldn't have possibly been from this planet. But I can't say a word. I'm muzzled by army brass. I can't even admit I saw the thing.
Sounds like Kay's in trouble.
But that apparition we saw had something to do with it. Come on.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
He's messed up as bad as those two back there.
Suppose that saucer or whatever it was had something to do with this?
Your guess is as good as mine, Larry. One thing's sure. Inspector Clay's dead. Murdered. And somebody's responsible.
You're in charge now, Lieutenant.
Yeah, guess I am. Kelton?
Yes, sir?
Get back up the car and get on the radio. Tell the coroner he's got to make another trip out here.
Well, how about the lab boys? Well,
who do you think we left back up the car? Boy Scouts? Come on, Larry.
Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for another. It is always difficult to have last words over the grave of a friend. And Inspector Daniel Clay was a friend, a dear friend to me and to all of us. The bell has rung upon his great career. Now we lay him to rest. A rest well deserved, but so premature.
People turning south from the freeway were startled when they saw three flying saucers high over Hollywood Boulevard. A woman, startled by the sight in the sky, telephones the police. Comes a time in each man's life when he can't even believe his own eyes. Saucers seen over Hollywood. Flying saucers seen over Washington, D.C. The army convoy moved into the field. Rockets were quickly set up. Colonel Tom Edwards, in charge of saucer field activities, was to make the greatest decision of his career. He made that decision. Colonel Edwards gave the signal to fire. They had come. They were gone, even to the piercing eye of radar and the speeding jet fighters.
Quite a sight, wasn't it, sir?
A sight I'd rather not be seeing.
Are you worried about them, sir?
Well, they must have a reason for their visits.
Visits? Well, that would indicate visitors. Well, the big guns, the usual way of welcoming visitors.
We haven't always fired at them.
Oh?
For a time, we tried to contact them by radio, but no response. Then they attacked a town. A small town, I'll admit, but nevertheless a town of people.
People who died.
I never heard about that, sir.
Well, it was covered up by the higher echelon. Take any fire, any earthquake, any major disaster, then wonder. Flying saucers, Captain, are still a rumor, officially.
Looks like we beat them off again, sir.
What do they want? Where are they from? Where are they going?
They, sir? Who? Well, this is a training maneuver, sir. We only did a little practice firing at the clouds.
Yeah. I wonder what their next move will be.
What will their next move be?
Your space commander has returned from Earth.
Send him in. You have your report?
We had to pull in here to Space Station 7 for regeneration. We're returning to the planet Earth immediately thereafter.
What progress has been made?
We contacted government officials. They refuse our existence.
What plan will you follow now?
Plan 9. It's been absolutely impossible to work through these Earth creatures. Their soul is too controlled.
Plan 9. Ah, yes. Plan 9 deals with the resurrection of the dead. Long-distance electrode shot into the pineal and pituitary glands of recent dead. Have you attempted any of this plan as yet?
Yes, Excellency.
How successful has it been?
We have risen 2 so far. We shall be just as successful on more.
The living, they have no suspicion of your movements?
We had to dispose of one policeman. However, none of those risen have been seen. At least not by anyone who still remains alive.
It's too bad it must be handled this way. But it must. Those who we take from the grave will lead the way for our other operations.
Yes, Excellency.
Continue on. Report to me in 2 Earth days.
I feared His Excellency wouldn't take our report this well.
Well, had he been dealing with our own people, his reaction would have been completely different. He understands the difficulties of the Earth race.
What do you think will be the next obstacle the Earth people will put in our way?
Well, as long as they can think, we'll have our problems. But those whom we're using cannot think. They are the dead, brought to assimilated life by our electrode guns. You know, it's an interesting thing when you consider the Earth people who can think are so frightened by those who cannot, the dead. Well, our ship should be regenerated. We better get started.
I still think you ought to go in town and stay with your mother until I get back.
This is our home, and nothing's going to take me from it. Besides, most men try and keep their wives from going home to mama.
That's not the point.
That's all the point there's going to be. Now toddle off and fly your flying machine, darling. But if you see any more flying saucers, will you tell them to pick another house to buzz? Be careful. Don't worry about me.
Oh, you're the only thing I do worry about. Oh, forget about the flying saucers. They're up there. But there's something in that cemetery. And that's too close for comfort.
The saucers are up there. And the cemetery's out there.
But I'll be locked up in there. Now, off to your wild blue yonders.
You promise you'll lock the doors immediately?
I promise. Besides, I'll be in bed before half an hour is gone, with your pillow beside me.
My pillow?
Well, I have to have something to keep me company while you're away. Sometimes in the night when it does get a little lonely, I reach over and touch it. Then it doesn't seem so lonely anymore.
A crazy kid. I do love you, darling. See you Thursday.
Goodbye, honey.
You know I'm not leaving here until you lock safely inside.
All right, darling. If you're especially nice, I may even lock the side door.
And be sure you keep the yard lights on.
You're mighty silent this trip, Jeff. You haven't spoken 10 words since takeoff.
I guess I'm preoccupied, Danny.
We've got 33 passengers back there that have time to be preoccupied. Flying this flybird doesn't give you that opportunity.
I guess you're right, Danny.
Paula?
Yeah?
There's nothing wrong between you two.
Oh, no, nothing like that. Just that I'm worried. She being there alone and those strange things flying over the house and those incidents in the graveyard these past few days just got me worried.
Well, maybe they haven't figured out those crazy skybirds yet, but I give you 50-1 odds the police have cleared up that cemetery thing by now.
I hope so.
If you're really that worried, Jeff, why don't you radio in and find out? Max should be on duty at the field by now. He could call Paul and relay the message to you.
Hi, Edie.
Hi, Silence. I haven't heard a word from this end of the plane since we left the field.
I've just been giving himself and me a study in silence.
You boys aren't feuding.
No, Edie, nothing like that.
Hey, Edie, how about you and me balling it up in Albuquerque?
Albuquerque? Have you read that flight schedule, boy?
What about it?
We land in Albuquerque at 4 a.m. That's strictly a 9 o'clock town.
Well, I know a friend that'll help us.
Let's have the problem first. Huh, Danny?
He's worried about Paula.
I read about that cemetery business. I tried to get two kids not to buy too near one of those things. We get there soon enough as it is.
He thought it'd be quiet and peaceful there.
No doubt about that. It's quite all right, like a tomb. I'm sorry, Jeff. That was a bad joke. Say, I almost forgot what I came in here for. How's the coffee situation?
That's for me.
It sure wouldn't hurt a thing, Edie.
Okay, be right back. And say, Jeff, make that call to Mac.
Nah, not only did she throw cold water on my Albuquerque plan, but now she's repeating herself. How about that Albuquerque ball?
I can't resist your charm, Danny boy.
Residents near the cemetery paid little attention to the blast of thunder and the flash of lightning. But from the blast arose the moving figure of the dead old man.
Okay, Mac. Thanks for calling. Good night.
Mrs. Stretch, what's wrong?
Hatch in a moment. You can open it now, Tanner. Turn off the electrodes quickly. They can't tell us from anyone else.
It's tough to find something when you don't know what you're looking for.
I don't think the lieutenant does either.
Then what are we doing out here? I was off duty an hour ago.
Oh, don't ask me any questions. I'm just a hard hand just like you.
What do you suppose that noise was?
Whatever it was, it's no more strange than the other things happening around this cemetery.
Spirits like old Farmer Caller talked about.
Well, maybe.
The only spirits he saw tonight were those I smelled on his breath.
Well, don't forget, Miss Trent claims to have seen them, too. She didn't have anything on her breath.
She was hysterical.
Well, true, she was frightened and in a state of shock. But don't forget that torn nightgown and the scratched feet.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Guess that's why you're a detective lieutenant and I'm still a uniformed cop.
Sometimes it's only the breaks, Larry. Meantime, let's
Lieutenant,
get going.
Lieutenant, did you hear that?
How could we help it? It sure was strange.
Know what it was?
No more than you do.
If
it went for orders, I'd get out of here right now.
It was a saucer.
A flying saucer?
What makes you say that? Do you remember the noise we heard the other night?
We were knocked to the ground. How could I forget?
Exactly. But you're not remembering that sound.
There you're wrong, Lieutenant. I'm with the fact the sound is similar, but what about the blinding light?
Well, haven't you heard? Been many times a saucer hasn't had a glow. Or a light of any kind, for that matter.
That proves it. What next, Lieutenant?
Oh, Lieutenant, maybe this doesn't mean much, but Jamie Mee found a grave that looks like it's been busted into.
What? Where?
Why?
Come on, man, out with it. We haven't got all day to waste.
Oh, just over there beyond the crib.
All right, show us the way.
Look, here it is, Lieutenant.
It's been broken into, all right.
Strange. If someone had broken in, the dirt should be piled up here somewhere. It looks like it's fallen into the grave.
Larry, you'll be out of that uniform before you know it.
Do we have the right to look down there, Lieutenant?
Technically, no.
No?
Well, this spot looks familiar, though. Yeah, we shouldn't investigate any further without the permission of the next of kin.
Let's go get it.
How? I see what you mean. The gravestone's down there.
Well, let's go down and find out whose grave it is.
How?
By going down and finding out.
Are you sure you mean that, Lieutenant?
If I didn't mean it, I wouldn't have said it.
Scared?
Well, why do I always get hooked up with these spook details? Monsters, graves, bodies. Oh, all right. Casket's here, but nobody's in it.
Can you read the name on the casket?
It's too dark. Give me a flashlight.
How about a match?
We sure could try it. Let me have them.
Okay.
It's Inspector Clay's grave, but he ain't in it.
But meanwhile, at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C.,
G2. Come in. Yes, of course. I'll keep in touch. Come in, Colonel Edwards. Close the door. At ease, Colonel.
Thank you, sir.
Sit down. I understand, Colonel, you've been on tap for many of our saucer attacks.
I'm in charge of field operations, sir.
You believe there are such things as flying saucers, Colonel?
Yes, sir.
You've seen them?
Yes, sir.
You realize there's a government directive stating that there is no such thing as a flying saucer?
Yes, sir.
You stand by your statement that you've seen flying saucers?
Yes, sir.
This could mean a court-martial, admitting this against direct orders.
General Roberts, may I speak freely?
You may.
How could I hope to hold down my command if I didn't believe in what I saw and shot at?
I like you, Colonel.
Thank you, sir.
There are flying saucers. There's no doubt they are in our skies. They've been there for some time.
What are we going to do about them?
Who knows?
Then they really are there.
I thought you were convinced of that.
I am.
We've had contact with them.
Contact? How?
Radio.
They speak our language?
Well, not quite. We've received messages from their spaceships. For a while, it came in as just a lot of jumbled noise.
And now, sir?
Well, since they first tried contact with us by radio, we've developed a language computer. A machine that breaks down any language to our own.
General, what's this all got to do with me?
Well, you've been in charge of saucer field activity for a long while. I think it's about time you heard these recordings. You mind?
Mind? I'm anxious.
This is Eros, a space soldier from a planet of your galaxy. I fully realize our language differences. However, I also know you finally have perfected the dictorobotary, or as you on Earth call it, the language computer. So you can now understand that which I speak. Since the beginning of your time, we have been far beyond your planet. It has taken you centuries to even grasp what we developed eons of your years ago. Do you still believe it impossible we exist? You didn't actually think you were the only inhabited planet in the universe. How can any race be so stupid? Permit me to set your mind at ease. We do not want to conquer your planet. Only save it. We could have destroyed it long ago if that had been our aim. Our principal purpose is friendly. I admit we have had to take certain means which you might refer to as criminal. But that is because of your big guns which have destroyed some of our representatives. If you persist in denying us our landings, then we must only accept that you do not want us on friendly terms. We then have no alternative but to destroy you before you destroy us. With your ancient juvenile minds, you have developed explosives too fast for your minds to conceive what you are doing. You are on the verge of destroying the entire...